Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Now, the US TV network ABC announced last night that it's pulling Jimmy Kimmel's late-night chat show indefinitely after conservatives voiced their displeasure about the longtime host's comments about the shooting of right-wing activist Charlie Kirk. Earlier this week, Kimmel said during his show that the MAGA gang was trying to score political points off Kirk's killing. The suspension came just hours after the US broadcast regulator chair Brendan Carr threatened to act against Disney and ABC over Kimmel. Remarks. Wayne Besson is the executive director of the US-based group Truth Wins Out, which is a non-profit dedicated to exposing extremism. And he joins us now to speak about this controversy. And Wayne, you're very welcome. Were you surprised or indeed shocked at how this cancellation came about?
Sadly, I'm not shocked at all. I mean, the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel is the latest disturbing signal that America as we know it is over. Donald Trump and his loyalists are engaged in a cancel culture crusade and political correctness run amok. They are pushing pushing out truth tellers and elevating conspiracy theorists. It's very scary right now. The United States is rapidly becoming an autocracy. The world needs to know this. And we are losing freedoms and we are suffering attacks on freedom of speech, freedom of assembly every single day. And why did he go after Jimmy Kimmel? Because aspiring autocrats don't like to be laughed at. That's why they target comedians. They don't like fact checkers. That's why they're going after media companies. And just yesterday, Trump sued the New York Times.
Yeah. If we stick with Jimmy Kimmel for a second, I would like to get on to the New York Times. Donald Trump was asked about it at the press conference a little bit earlier on with Keir Starmer. And he described it as great news for America. I think actually we have a clip of that.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else. And he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings and they should have fired him a long time ago. So, you know, you can call that free speech or not. He was fired for lack of talent.
What did you make of that, Wayne? He's saying this is about ratings. And indeed, we were talking to a representative from Republicans abroad earlier in the program. And she was also saying this is about great ratings. That's all it was. Or bad ratings.
Yes, that's what they also said about Stephen Colbert. That's just an excuse for what we're looking at as someone who doesn't have any tolerance for a dissenting view, someone who doesn't like to be laughed at, and someone who wants to control all the messages in the United States of America. This isn't new. He has gone after a lot of media companies, the Wall Street Journal, CBS News and 60 Minutes, even the Des Moines Register. And the same thing every time. Oh, they don't have talent. Mm. Oh, that's why. There's always an excuse for it. What we're getting is a lot of gaslighting. We know exactly why Donald Trump went after Jimmy Kimmel and ABC. And it happened right after a podcast where the head of the Federal Communications Commission, Brendan Carr, threatened ABC. And said they're going to have remedies that we can look at unless Jimmy Kimmel was gone. He said there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead if he isn't gone. And suddenly he's gone. That's what's happening in the United States right now. We're looking at a gigantic purge. It reminds us of the McCarthy era from Senator Joe McCarthy when he was accusing everyone of being a communist and then having them fired from their jobs and blacklisted. We are going through that now. In fact, after the death of Charlie Kirk, you have his minions in his movement scrubbing the internet, looking for people that they believe haven't mourned properly and contacting their employers to have them fired. And it's getting a lot of people fired. There's a great chill on America right now, and it's like nothing we've ever seen before.
If we look at the ABC case last year, Trump sued ABC last year in a case that the network paid to settle $16 million. And again, the Republicans abroad representative that we're speaking to earlier said this is proof, you know, he had a case and he's allowed to defend himself if the media get things wrong in as much as anybody else is allowed to defend themselves.
Well, that's actually wrong in the sense that these media companies are afraid. They're afraid they're going to have their licenses pulled. They're not going to be able to conduct mergers. And so they are capitulating. What we are looking at is cowardice. at the expense of our country, the expense of democracy. And I think that's one of the most distressing things about this. We always expected when the aspiring autocrat, the dictator, would rear his head, that people of strength and courage would stand up to it. And instead, what we're looking at is folding, is cowering. And these media companies are settling, hoping that if they just keep their head down, they won't be targeted. Law firms are doing the same thing. And what they're learning is there is no appeasing someone like Donald Trump. The autocrat, once they realize they can bully you, only wants more and more and more. And that is why he keeps going and going, because no one, or very few people, have said, stop. Yeah. Harvard stood up to him, and Trump, to some extent, backed down, because that's how you have to handle a bully. You have to be strong.
Yeah, but as you say, there's very few people standing up. And I mean, you could argue maybe this began with Jeff Bezos did it in the election campaign and the Washington Post, and what we saw there in terms of the op-ed and the decision, you know, not to take a stance. When that starts to happen, you know, do you then have like knock-on consequences when you see people of that stance and power capitulating?
It's incredibly distressing, but there will be strong people who do stand up and say no. I think our movement against autocracy has to rediscover the power of no, and consequences be damned, because it's too important that we remain a free country and a democracy.
And where are they though, Wayne? Where are the strong people? I know you have your organization, which is one, but where is everybody else? I mean, if you look at all the social media companies and the chiefs of those companies, the tech bros, if you want to call them that, you look at them gathering around a cabinet meeting with Donald Trump, all telling him, you know, how great he is. You see, as you say, ABC settling. You see this latest thing with Jimmy Kimmel in the traditional media, if you want to call it that. And then that has a chilling effect, doesn't it, on the reporters and the journalists who maybe want to ask the questions, but they see what happens when they do ask the questions.
I think that's a great question you ask. Where are they? Well, they're cowering in a cave somewhere, I guess. I think it's going to get better that they can hide, or that their money is going to protect them. And I think when we look at countries like Russia, we realize with the oligarchs there that it didn't protect them in the end. And it was a mistake to capitulate. We have the governor of California and we have the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, standing up and strong. Those are some, you know, Gavin Newsom in California. Those are two places where we have seen some strength. And I think what happened to Jimmy Kimmel is going to spur more people to stand up and take this seriously. I think Americans were sleepwalking. They were in a fog. They hoped this was a bad dream. It was going to go away. And now, a little more than 6 months into this, about 8 months, we realize instead of being a bad dream that's going to go away, we're entering the beginning of a long nightmare. And if we don't stand up, it's only going to get worse. And we have to remain strong.
We have a clip. People may have heard this throughout the day, but just in case people missed it, we do have a clip of exactly what Jimmy Kimmel said. And we might just have a listen to that, and then I'll get back to you, Wayne.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. Okay. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition, construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend.
So we don't want to get into the politics or the motive of the actual crime itself, but in terms of what Kimmel said there, do you think he went too far in what he attributed?
No, I think it was his freedom of speech to say what he said. I think it was fair. Donald Trump and his apparatchiks, his loyalists, are dishonoring the memory of Charlie Kirk by exploiting his death for political gain. They went on to use his death to demonize the left, falsely claiming that we're more violent, which every study says it's actually the opposite. It's the right. They embarked on a cancel culture crusade. It's a new McCarthyism, and it's leveraging government power to shut down and shut people up and purge political opponents. It's about vengeance and revenge, and it's positively un-American. The president ought to be ashamed of himself, how he used his so-called friend. Really, he exploited this. And it's not the first time. I mean, I think it's really a feature, not a bug, of his administration.
We've also seen Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, talking about going after Americans who express, quote, hate speech. Now, she's had an awful lot of blowback on that. Would that suggest that maybe there was an attempt here by the administration to push it too far? But even on the right, people are taking exception to that proposal.
Yes, I think that people need to decide if they want to live in a free country, if they want to have personal liberty, or do they want to live in a Russian-type country where we have to look over our shoulder and watch what we say and suffer consequences if we have an opinion. Pam Bondi she assumes she graduated law school, but she clearly has no understanding of the First Amendment, which gives freedom of religion. It doesn't say there's no state religion. It allows us to say whatever we want as long as we're not threatening someone directly. And she apparently has no concept of that.
But I just wonder, Wayne, that exists in practice, but does it exist? Sorry, it exists maybe in theory or in law, but does it exist now in practice? If you have situations like, for example, Jimmy Kimmel getting fired, and the reason being given is because of his ratings, if you have this chilling effect where people are, being told that they'll be chased if they're making comments, they might be fired by their employers if they're making comments by Charlie Kirk online. Does the First Amendment still really apply?
In theory, it applies, but in practice, as we're seeing right now, it's not applying to everyone that doesn't bow down to the President of the United States. This is nothing like anything that I've seen in my lifetime, and it goes back to the McCarthy era I referenced earlier. I mean, Charlie Kirk being assassinated was horrific and wrong. It was bad for America. But we also have to be honest that Charlie Kirk was a lightning rod, a provocateur. He said many cruel things that offended people. He said black women don't have the brain processing power to be taken seriously. Trans people are a throbbing middle finger to God. He rejected the Civil Rights Act, called it, said it created the beast. He said birth control screws up female brains. It creates angry, bitter young ladies. I can go on and on and on. And what the President of the United States and his supporters demand is that we pretend none of this happened and that we say, oh, he's the greatest person in the world and he's wonderful. Yes, it was horrible that he was killed. Nobody should be killed for what they believe. But we also don't, we also have a right not to whitewash his statements and what Charlie Kirk stood for. And instead, we're in this Orwellian moment where Trump and his Make America Great Again coalition demand that we whitewash it. It's like North Korea. They want to tell us how to mourn. They were commanded to say Charlie Kirk was a wonderful human being, which he wasn't. And if we don't bow down and pretend, he's a martyr, they're going to seek retribution. That's where we're at right now. So the First Amendment is being eroded very quickly.
All right. Wayne, it's very interesting to speak to you, and thank you for joining us on the program. That is Wayne Besson.